360 camera just came out with GoPro, the GoPro 360 camera. And I said, what if we could take our camera, a 360-degree camera, and like put it on a car and do all of our inspection, bring in that project to your PC virtually anywhere. You could be in Seattle and see the roadways in Detroit or Florida or wherever and be able to see the conditions and do inventory. So we knew there's a huge opportunity in the asphalt industry.
You're listening to the Blacktop Banter Podcast, the premier podcast in the asphalt industry, made for contractors with contractors.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Blacktop Banter. Very excited for this one. As you guys know, I'm a blacktop and asphalt geek, and technology has always been my favorite, and it's getting more intensified, I would say, over the last couple of years. And we're going to talk a little bit about a software program today. So let's get to it. Today, I have Craig Carmichael and Wesley Hunt, both from Optic Systems. Optic Systems is the parent company of a dynamic network of four specialized subsidiaries, each dedicated to enhancing different facets of virtual inspections. They offer both the service and the software necessary to capture and interact with 360-degree video of work sites. I got a chance to look at it. It's awesome. We're going to get into the conversation about that now. So, Craig, first and foremost, you and I had a meeting, a video meeting, and I get a lot where people are like, hey, Marvin, we want you to check this out. I'm like, okay, cool, because I'm a geek, as I said. That happens, and I'm like, oh, cool, yeah, I see the application. But then I get to a point where I'm like, the problem that it solves isn't that big of a problem beyond what the problem, the initial thing solved. That's kind of how I felt for maybe 5 minutes until you really got into explaining to me what it does and how it works and the problems it solves. Then I was like, can you guys come on the podcast? Can we talk about this thing? Because there's very rare where I think that something checks all the boxes and really solves a problem. And sometimes it's not a problem that we realized we had because we were just kind of doing what we were doing before, but this is different than that. So first of all, give us a little bit of background. Craig, you're the co-owner. Give us a little background about yourself. That'd be the best thing to start with, I think.
Absolutely. Thanks, Marvin. So we started Optic Systems back about 2018. The concept came probably about that time. We were looking at how we can bring our work sites. So me and Wes both worked in the HOA industry. So okay, working for developers in the Florida area. Wes was up in Jacksonville. I was in the Orlando area, but we ran an HOA management company and we wanted to bring our HOAs to us basically virtually. So we took a 360-degree camera, basically attach it to either a car or a person and go into our communities and basically inspect all that and bring it back to our PCs. So so it would save our managers and our upper level leadership time from going out to the projects. They could have everything at their fingertips within their, you know, smartphone or their PC. It all originated actually from my son playing hockey. I used to do GoPros behind his goals. He's a goalie. So we put GoPros, and me and Wes were talking one day, and the 360 camera just came out with GoPro, the GoPro 360 camera. And I said, what if we could take our camera, a 360-degree camera, and like put it on a car and do all of our inspections? And Wes goes, I think it's a great idea. And we started to kind of build on that. And as we built it for the HOA industry out of the gate, we saw a bunch of other verticals that just popped up. And definitely roadway maintenance, inspection, bringing that project to your PC virtually anywhere. You could be in Seattle and see the roadways in Detroit or Florida or wherever and be able to see the conditions and do inventory. So we knew there's a huge opportunity in the asphalt industry.
That's wild. Yeah, I think that happens, right, sometimes in business and in our industry and in the construction space where somebody has an idea of how they think they can improve something or do something better. They do it. And sometimes, like, I invented a spray shield for seal coating. Right? I was like, yeah, you know, if I do this and this and this, it'll be better. Like, maybe it did one thing better, maybe it didn't. But it didn't, like, revolutionize. It didn't, you know, bust open this thing where it's like, whoa, okay, yeah, this could do it. And actually, the idea came from, there were spray shields, but it was actually for like a painting one for like walls and stuff, was where my idea came in. And but this one kind of busted open and did that. What was the first like integration like? Wes, you're the co-founder. You've been there. Craig was mentioning that kind of at the beginning. Like, what was the integration like originally? Because you guys had GoPro files, I'm guessing, from the beginning, right? And then that's a lot of files, and that's a lot of big files to move over. What was the integration like when we first started using it?
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those things where we thought this was a great idea, and then once we started getting the original file sizes, and we were trying to figure out how you're going to manage those file sizes and get those into the software that are usable, we definitely we took our beating there for a while. But, you know, we eventually figured it out, and one of the keys came is, you know, a couple years into R&D, some new cameras came out that helped streamline the process because, you know, 360-degree cameras usually use multiple lenses. Mm-hmm. And so each lens is recording a file. And that, so now it's not just one, you know, gigabyte. Now it's 6 gigabytes or whatever it might be. And then depending on the length of the video, it gets bigger and bigger. So, but they came out with some cameras that do some stuff where they take all six files and they convert them into a single file. And then you just take one, you know, USB card out and you're able to just like upload it and things like that. So that, it honestly was really the advancement of technology that helped us more than really anything that we did specifically on that front. Okay. It just was, they got better and better and they got more efficient, and that helped us a ton.
What was it like? Because you guys used it in house, and then how was it trying to get other people to use it? Like, what was that first steps like? Because, you know, we get sent stuff. Hey, Marvin, try the software. Hey, this will make your life 100 times better. We own an asphalt company. My spam is full of stuff like that. I'm like, whatever. So can you kind of, Wes, talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So, you know, when we first launched it, the concept initially was, because we were using it kind of in-house, was we just put the cameras on our cars. And the idea was, we didn't really want to have vehicles. We didn't really want a fleet company. You know, we didn't want to have vehicles all over the United States. It didn't make sense initially. And so we tried the idea of like, hey, what if we just gave the people the cameras and the software, and they go out and they shoot it and they upload it themselves? Well, we kind of ran into two problems with that. And it was really, one, people said, well, if I'm already going out there anyway, why would I be recording video on it? I'm just going to, that doesn't save me any time. I'm still doing it. And then the other one was, you know, the difficulty we just talked about, which was the uploading process and the file size and storage and all those different things. So after we kind of launched sneak peek of the product, we had a lot of great feedback. A lot of people said, hey, this is what we want, but we're not going to drive it. So we went back to the drawing board. We had to figure, you know, because that added a whole other layer of, okay, now we got to have mounts on for the cameras, and we got to buy vehicles and get drivers. And but I will say that once we came back to the show, so we went to CAI National, which is the Community Association Institute's national show. We went back the second year, but this time we brought the car model with us. And it was that point that, like, we knew we had something, because everybody was like, yes, like, I don't have to drive it. I don't have to manage the files. All I do is receive the final product, and I can do it. And so, or I can utilize it. So that's where I think we really kind of started to take off. And then at that point, we drive these it actually worked in our benefit, because now we're driving these cars around that are branded with our cameras on top. And we're driving around HOAs, and who lives in HOAs? Owners of asphalt companies, owners of commercial landscape companies, owners of, you know, land development, home building. They're seeing our car driving around these cameras, and they're saying, wait, there's a company that does this, right? They would look us up, and they would see that we use video when we're not Google Street. And so then they started calling us saying, hey, like, we're trying to strap GoPros to our vehicles and have our, like, construction guys drive them and stuff. Could you just do it for us? And we're like, absolutely. Yeah. So the car was almost like that linchpin for the whole thing. It was like, once we added that, it changed everything kind of in a moment's notice. So
that's wild, man, to think that, like, that's just the nature of humans, right? Where they're like, yeah, this is awesome, I have to do it though. Know what, forget not about it, how awesome it is, man. If I have to do it, I don't. Craig, tell me, so, you know, we talk about this is what it does, this is who uses it, but why do they need to use it? That's really what got me when we had our first initial conversation, was like, why do we need a video recording of the one we did was like a road project, and it was like every station, every mile station and whatnot. Why do we need that? Was it required? What problem does it solve? Like, you know, like I we kind of get how it works, right? But why do we need it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the need really comes where asphalt companies or city municipalities or counties really want to see the roadways and what's out there, right? So like the roadway we showed you in that kind of like first demo, first meeting was, it was a toll road and it was built a couple of years ago. Well, no one's been really putting eyeballs on it, and lane dividers were busted, you know, guardrails were damaged, street signs, there's some issues there. There was furniture on the side of the highway. It's probably been there forever. You know, no one's really inspecting that piece of roadway. And it's just going down and down and down. Well, if somebody was inspecting it or had the footage to be able to look at, they'd be like, oh, that's an issue. That's a problem. We need to go take care of it. So that's one of the biggest things. And that was for the city of Jacksonville and the Jacksonville area there.
Okay.
So like I said, we have other projects where I think the key for our software in the asphalt industry, there's a lot, but I think our two major ones is being able to take the project from the beginning, you know, working with the city or the asphalt company or even engineers, is basically taking the video of that roadway, that stretch of roadway. They're able to see the issues. They're able to report that to the city, and the city uses it in the counties. We worked with the city of Dallas on a couple projects with a company out there, and they loved it because when people were calling in, homeowners or even businesses saying, hey, you damaged my mailbox, my curbing, whatever it may be, we're able now to go back in that video and be like, no, it was already damaged before we started the project.
Yeah.
It's on you. It's not on us as the asphalt company.
Contractor.
The city.
Yeah.
It's on you guys, you know, or absolutely, that was us. We did damage it. We take ownership in it and resolve it. So that was one huge thing. But I know the company we were working with out of Dallas said their biggest, what they loved about it is they kept the city of Dallas informed of where they were on the project. They're able to pull up that video and be able to see where it's at, look at what safety procedures are being used, you know, from, you know, lane closures and moving things. They're able to see all that, how it's set up. But they're able, once a project is done, to be able to get their payment faster. And if there's stages of payment along the project, they're able to look that video and approve. Like, yes, they're at that completion. They've done that. And be able to release payment. So out of that one company, me and Wes looked at each other, and that was our first real kind of role in the asphalt industry. We saw a huge value just out of that one case that we were like, hey, we need to take this across the United States because I'm sure there's other vendors and other, you know, cities and counties that would love to have this as a redoing the roadways.
Yeah.
Marvin, if you don't mind, like, just add one thing to that. So when I worked for Pulte Homes, I was on the land development side, and this is obviously we're not talking necessarily interstate or roadway, but it was interesting. We worked with a lot of asphalt companies who we were, you know, when Pulte builds the roads, we have to come in and usually put the last layer on before when the homes are finished and all stuff. Well, what was always funny was homeowners would have like their aprons cracked or their mailboxes damaged, never made any comment about it at all. But as soon as the asphalt guys came in and started doing work in there, all of a sudden there was a claim filed saying, you busted my apron, you busted my mailbox. Yeah. So, you know, when I was working for Pulte, I was like, man, I wish we had like a, you know, the Wayback machine, right? I wish I could roll that back and see, like, was that broke before the asphalt company ever came in here? And many times it was. Yeah. And a lot of the asphalt companies, when we talked to them, when we were talking about this product, they were saying one apron. Sometimes there's mailboxes, like some high-end communities have $2,000 mailboxes. Like, for the cost of our product, to have that video to go back and go, no, that mailbox is already broken. The apron, it saves them $2,000 times however many aprons, you know, or whatever it might have been that they would have had to repair because there was no proof that it was or wasn't broken. So that's kind of the one area, even when you start taking away from the interstate stuff and, like, the city stuff, if you just think even small scale, some of these asphalt companies that are smaller and do kind of, you know, HOA stuff.
HOA,
you know,
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like they even find value in it because it's having that record.
Yeah. I think, like, there's you know, what Craig was saying, like, there's a lot of different things, but here's a couple avenues where it's applicable. There's that aspect that you were just talking about, Wes, right? Where it, like, you know, essentially covers the contractor's butt if they didn't break something or did break something, but it also holds the contractor accountable, which then the municipality you know, the municipality or whoever the owner is that has hired them to develop this area or GC or whatever, it forces the contractor to be held accountable then. Then also allows the municipalities to keep up to date with what's going on in real time, right? And whether they're putting two layers down, however many the inches are, whatever marker we're at, whether we did place this or didn't place this or do whatever. So here's all these things that some of which you would never have an idea. You would never know if you didn't have optic systems, if that apron was cracked before you got there or not, if somebody wasn't there walking along, taking pictures of every single thing. And how do they know what the person is going to make a claim against? Right. One way or another, you don't. Right. So maybe you don't take a picture of the mailbox or this or the yard or the grass or their sidewalk, or you ran over their favorite squirrel with a roller. Who knows? Right. So like there's no way to know that. This covers that. And then on the flip side, you have the time. If it takes all these people of all these miles and miles and stretches of miles, right? And you're trying to get somebody with a camera or somebody holding a 360 camera, which you're not going to do while you're driving down the road, which you're probably not going to do, right, with your crew. All I can think is you were talking, Wes, about like the money saved on a $2,000 mailbox or, you know, a $4,000 apron, $4,500, whatever the minimum would be to redo concrete or repave it or whatever. But I think about the labor savings. Like, it's a lot, man. It's a lot. You're asking, like, on one highway project, the things that optic system covers is multiple jobs, right? And some of which is invaluable because you wouldn't be able to do it with a human otherwise, right? So I think about that in that regard, and that was the epiphany moment for me where it was like, I'm getting a virtual video record of this whole thing all the way through. And if I decide, even if I just do before and after, I have it, but if I decide to do it all the way through, it keeps me up in real time. Some of these contracts are getting wild, right? Whether it's engineer spec or whether it's municipalities or government or whatever. And the specifications per through it, like let's say you're going to get paid in, you know, four segments because it's a four stage project or whatever. You have to be able to relay that, yes, we're there. Yes, we did this, whether that's a density test on the pavement or whether it's, yeah, we did two layers or yes, we allowed it to sit this long. And you're able to do that with optic systems by just keeping the virtual record of it.
I'm incredibly proud of the Blacktop Banner Edition seal coating unit produced in partnership with KM International, a unit designed by a contractor for contractors. Learn more about the unit and to see a walkthrough of the entire unit by visiting kminternational.com. In my opinion, Dynapac CC900G Roller is the best roller on the market for driveway and small parking lot paving contractors. The seismic technology in these rollers is unbeatable for the smoothness and compaction they provide. Check them out in person or visit dynapac.com to find a dealer near you.
Hey Blacktop Banner fans, this is Michael with Aquafault. Aquafault is the only permanent repair material for asphalt and concrete that uses water. And installation is simple. Just pour, add water, and tamp. It's that easy. An Aquafault repair can be open to traffic immediately and fully sealed within 24 hours. Visit aquafault.com to learn more.
In the past year, Jobber has been our CRM of choice at Wiscote, and it's made our world exponentially better efficiency-wise. For our small seal coating company, it has helped build the solid foundation we can scale from. Jobber is now a sponsor of Blacktop Banter and helps bring this show to you. With this partnership, Jobber is offering an exclusive savings to BB listeners of 20% off for 6 months. To take advantage of this, find the Jobber link in the show description and get to improving your process today.
Hi, contractors. It's Kyla from Wiscote. We use Stencil Plus for all of our pavement marking stencils. Alphabet letters, numbers, directional arrows, handicap markings, you name it. We use it and we get it all from Stencil Plus. Right now, for a limited time, you can save 10% on your stencil order by using code BB10 during checkout at stencilplus.com.
So, you know, we kind of talk about what problems it solves. How does it get from the camera to the recipient and then distributed? How does that work?
Yeah, so we have a fleet of drivers. We have a fleet of vehicles and a core group of drivers. They're usually W-2 employees, especially in markets that we're full-time in. So you're getting that piece of it. We also have a couple different other models depending on the markets we're in. We can use the Uber model if we need to, where we use kind of a gig driver service, or we can use part-time employees using their own vehicles. So we have lots of different models that can fit different, areas in the United States where maybe we're not in, but we could send someone there for, a few weeks if we needed to do some work. So it makes our model really flexible. But basically, the drivers go out. They have all we really need is starting and ending coordinates, geo coordinates for the location start and end. And whether you want to see all the lanes separately or whether you like a center lane drive is perfect. Whether you want off ramps, on ramps, turning lanes. So like we get a little bit of basic information. Once we do that, we have a dedicated mobile app and our drivers basically have a route plan and they just follow the route just like you would on Google. Whoa. And then, and they could have multiple routes for a single job, whatever we need to do there. And then, once they are done recording for the day, they just go back and the video, depending on which camera we're using, cause there's pros and cons to each camera. So depending on your needs, we choose a camera that works best.
Okay.
But we basically upload that footage. They do it from the driver actually does it. They're given a device and we've got them set up with, that's part of the secret sauce, right? Is how we do that. But they're able to take these massive files and get them up to a server. And we're then able to deliver them in three different qualities directly to your software. So you as the user, all that happens is you tell us where the job's at and when you need it by. We go out, record it. We upload it. You generally have it in less than 24 hours. Many times it's either that evening, depending on how, if we drove a 4-hour stretch of road, it might be the middle of the night before you actually get it. But generally speaking, if these are short sections of road, it's up in a couple hours. And from that point on, you just log into the system. You have a username and password and you're a user and an end user and click on your job and you click on the video and you're in there and you can start your inspection or your evaluation from that point.
Wow. So does that get, like, let's say the contractor needs it for a municipality that they work for. The contractor is then able to share it from there with whoever their contact point is at a municipality or a highway or a county or whatever?
We can even set a user. We could set the county up as a user for that job. And the county could, like the district manager or whatever, could just go in and log in. And they would have basically view-only access of everything going on if they wanted to. Wow. And we can share the files. It's just files are so large that server size always becomes an issue for, municipalities and things like that. Yeah. So
it's so sick. Yeah, because even then, like they can, I imagine they could get in there, screenshot or screen record, whatever length they want to, send that over to whoever their contact point is for whatever deliverables they need to do for that contract. Craig, Craig and Wes both, like what would be some of the other things that you would like listeners and people who are kind of getting to learn about optic systems, what would be some of the other things you would like them to know?
Yeah, I think one thing, and I'll let Wes jump in after me, is our new release of our new software here in about 2 weeks. It's going to allow the end user, so either the city or asphalt company or engineer company, to mark up the video, to put work orders, to do asset inventory, to do within the video. There's a lot of tools now that we've built in where they can really enhance, and mark up everything on there and then send that to somebody, right? So send all the work orders or issues that they see within the video. Mark it up and then add proposals to it. You could add a proposal within it, send that to the city and the city could see that or whoever you're going for or where you're sending it. So a lot more tools within the asphalt industry are now built into it. That's what we built. We're going to continue to build and build and build onto our platform to really help them out. So it's a one-stop shop. I know one thing I wanted to mention too, Marvin, I think it's key, is for the leadership of these asphalt companies, how many times do they really get out on their jobs? How many times are they out there? I know when I was running an HOA management company, I couldn't get out. I had 200 plus communities we managed, throughout Florida. It's impossible for me to hit every one of those, right? Mm-hmm. There's no way. But with this technology, I could. I could sit there on my desktop and really look at them and say, there's an issue with, and if I was in the asphalt and I'm a leader in one of the asphalt companies, being able to see my projects, seeing how, the signage, the conage, the safety, from my side, my assets that are out there, being able to look at that, being able to see how the job's being done, what issues are out there, and having a record of that, you know, forever. You know, you can archive it and put it, you know, on your shelf forever. And then if the city comes back to you or the county for whatever issue down the road, you're able to pull that back up and be like, you know, that wasn't an issue. Here's the video. Here's the documentation. We did everything to spec, and here you go. You know, really kind of help out, I think, the asphalt companies in the end.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. Like for me, that was the thing, right? Where it was like, that always is like, we do. I was on village board here locally, and we had a huge road project that went through them all. And the problem is, yes, they did what they said they were going to do, but they didn't quite do it to the full specifications that we thought that they were going to do. So then we got to go back and do it. Or then it makes you say, well, what about this? Did this get done the way that we want to get done? And you know, we're gone during the day. We're board members. Like, we're gone. We're working, doing whatever. We're not standing there observing, right? And and they're not documenting, of course. So it just makes me think of, like, that problem being solved and it just being an undeniable issue. Here's the video. It's like NFL replay, whether it's the Buffalo Bills or whoever, right? Where, like, you want to wind it back and make sure that it really got done the way that it got done, right, before we make the call. That's kind of what we're able to do in the construction world with optic systems. And to me, I don't know, guys, I think you'll agree with me, this industry, the construction industry, is more data driven than ever. And it seems like it's going to be more data driven going forward. The more data we have, the better decisions we can make. And for me, that's priceless when it comes to that type of thing. But
Marvin, on that note, I think it's a great segue into just one other note I think is important, is that when you look at, you know, we talk about all the service industries across the United States, still not just asphalt, but you talk about commercial landscape, you talk about managers, you talk about city code enforcement, you talk about any of those things. There's labor shortages affecting all of them. Mm-hmm. And the interesting point that you just brought up is everything is now going towards being very data driven, but data is only as good as the data that's in, you know, that you're actually doing the analysis on. And mm-hmm. that data has to get collected and provided somehow, some way.
Absolutely.
And two things related to that is, one is, you know, there's in some of these industries, a lot of individuals are aging out of it, right? They're getting ready to retire.
Yep.
And the younger generations that are coming in, they want to know, wait, I have to physically go out and with a tablet and a pen and paper and take a picture? Like, there's got to be an app for that, or I should be able to do that from my house. And we joke a lot of time that, but it's I think it is serious that these individuals who are coming up who are going to fill in those jobs, backfill those jobs, they were born with a cell phone in their hand. They can do everything today from while they're, you know, they can be sitting in their, you know, in their back porch, and they can literally do everything. And they want to know that same thing when they go into the new job, right? Well, can I see the roadway from my house, right? Can I do this inspection from here? And so for us, we're looking at two things. One, we provide our platform provides that data collection that you need to then make decisions. Two, it's taking a job where they're facing labor shortages and finding a way to make it attractive to younger individuals who are very technologically savvy. And it's also allowing those individuals to be able to do more, or basically use your current resources more efficiently. So rather than needing 12 individuals who you can't find to go do something, that 6 individuals that you can find might be able to do the work of 12. And people say, well, that just means I'm doing twice as much work. And it's like, no, you're just more efficient at doing
it.
Right. So it's some things like that are interesting and kind of at play as well. And I think you're going to see that over the next several years, to where there's just a big push in a lot of these industries to figure out, how do we solve the labor shortages? How do we actually get our people in the field?
Well, you know what, to give that kind of a synonym or a comparison is, like, we see skid steers with broom attachments on the front of them, right? Cleaning up. How many men with brooms would it take to do that in that amount of time, right? It's like, yep, it can get done that way, but there's a better way to do it that creates more time where we actually need the people to be focused and be there still, where humans still do their thing. I totally agree where that's where it's at. This has been like another interesting conversation about optic systems, because I feel like there's things that optic system provides that we haven't yet discovered when I think about the conversations that you guys have, right? Because we talk about it does it does a lot of things. It does this, 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 and this. And then my brain starts thinking about, well, what if there's other issues outside? Like, what if there's emergency issues that happen and it just so happens to be when optic systems are going by, right? And here there's outside entities that could use this file, whether it's their lives or whatever it is, to make a difference. So to me, like, that the gap or the funnel is like we're just starting to see kind of where it would be. So I kind of want to ask you guys about some certain things, as we do with every episode of the Black Top Banner podcast. You've had quite an experience going from working with HOAs to developing your own company and software and now marketing and doing these types of things. But at the same time, you have lives. I would love to know, Craig first and then Wes, what would be some pieces of advice that you guys would have in general for the Black Top Banner listenership?
Well, one of my favorite shows I've been watching, which a lot of people watch, is Ted Lasso. So oh, yeah. Good old Ted Lasso. One of his quotes, and this is what I live by, is be a goldfish, you know, and have that short memory. A goldfish has 10 seconds of memory. Too much in our life, we just get stuck in the rut. We keep thinking about the past, and you can't do much about the past. You can learn from it and just move on. And I think that's the key and the motto I live by. You know, I was in the HOA industry, and I can tell you, it was brutal. I mean, people yelling at you every day for issues going on, and you know, it's just, it's a tough environment. But you got to be a goldfish, and you got to move on. And you know, and I think that's, you know, the one word of advice I give people: life's too short to worry about, you know, all the issues that are going on or things that have happened to you in the past. You only have today, and you move forward today. So
yeah, I'm going to bust Wes's chops one more time on that one, because the Buffalo Bills, they got to be like goldfish, because every year, if they focused on the year before, man, they wouldn't want to do anything the next year.
We're eternal optimists.
That's right. That's not a bad thing.
Next year is going to be the year.
Oh, for sure. I believe
how many years is that now?
I believe you. Yeah.
37 years, it's going to be the year.
We live by the Bears over here, so I hear that very often. Yeah, it's your year. I get it. So what about yourself, Wes?
I think the biggest kind of lesson I've taken away from a lot of this is don't ever kind of let people tell you that something can't be done. Because I think there was a lot of that when we first started. It was like, I've tried that. It can't be done. It'll never work. I thought about this idea 10 years ago, and it's just not possible, right? And it's like, I kind of like, okay, well, here we are now, 3 years later, and we're in 11 states and 18 geographic markets, and we're doing it at scale. And it's like, I think a lot of times people are they just want to be negative. And if I were to listen to every person who told me that this would never work, we would have never got to where we're at today. So it's I think it's just, you know, continue to iterate, continue to build off what you already know, and don't be afraid to ask other people who are smarter than you to help you in situations. Say, hey, I didn't know anything about 360 degree video when we started, but we just started talking to people who did, and then we learned something here and something there, and we started putting those together, and all of a sudden, it did work. So,
oh, you should have been around me. You should have heard what people said when I said, hey, you think there could be a podcast about blacktop that is popular all over the world, and all we do is talk about blacktop all the time? That's not going to fly. But here we are. Now you guys made it here. Congrats. Now we finally made it. Yeah. Where can we learn more about optic systems, you guys? I'm pretty sure opticsystems.io will take me to the website. Is that right?
Cool. That's correct. So we have opticsystems.io, and it kind of shows all the different verticals we're in and a little bit about our technology and the company. Mm-hmm. And then we are on LinkedIn. We're on X. We're on
Instagram.
We're on Instagram.
Yeah.
So, and then both Craig and I are personally on LinkedIn as well. So you can find us there too and follow along as we continue to build this thing.
Perfect. Guys, thank you so much for joining me today. I love the conversation. Technology has been coming across my desk and in my inbox a lot lately. And it's really cool to kind of get a conversation with people who are really doing it, who aren't writing on a buzzword and are actually have their boots on the ground, putting the whole infrastructure together versus just trying to dangle a carrot in front of somebody and see what happens. I really, really, really appreciate that about what you guys are building.
Thanks, Warren. We appreciate the time and what you're doing with Blacktop Banter. You guys are definitely one of a kind. We're in other industries, and there's a lot of people that need to do what you're doing in those other industries because it brings the whole united force together, and that's the key. So,
yeah, I appreciate that.
Blessed to be here today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Been an absolute pleasure, and we appreciate the opportunity, and keep doing what you're doing. Obviously, like you said, I told you it couldn't be done, and look at you now. So we're following in your footsteps.
Yeah. Dude, people are telling me I can't grow my hair back. That's the next challenge. That's the next challenge, man. Yeah, cool. Well, guys, I really, really appreciate you being here. It's always great to talk about blacktop and asphalt and how we can make it better for our industry, for our community. And I'm thankful that we're aligned in that with Blacktop Banner and Optic Systems. For myself here in the Blacktop Banner studio with Chris and for Craig and Wes, this is Blacktop Banter, another episode. And as always, we speak asphalt. Peace.
Hey, everybody, Marvin here from Blacktop Banter. And if you enjoy the podcast and what we've been bringing to the industry, you can support us through a one-time or recurring donation at blacktopbanter.com. There we have a support tab. You click that and choose your path from there. If you listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please do us a favor and leave a review there for us as well. As always, we speak asphalt, and thanks for your support.